Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Infinite Potential Podcast. I'm here with Ross today, the two hosts, and what we're going to talk about is diet, well-being, overall health. Ross being a health coach. Ross, how you doing?
Yep, great.
Been training this morning? Got your shorts on?
No, I was resting today. But I actually didn't train today.
Look at them pins. Diet and well-being. Do you think there's an overall diet, an overall health program for everybody, for the whole populace, or do you think it's very individual?
100% individual, from my experience. And I've been looking into this, I've been researching nutrition, obviously for quite a few years now, and you can end up falling down quite a few rabbit holes. You've got so many different views and agendas when it comes to nutrition and different diets, fad diets. It's just endless, and you can end up kind of missing the whole point that's just staring you right in the face, and that's your own body, which most people don't pay attention to and are too quick to look into what diet their friends doing, or their own personal gurus, or what it says on the news, or anything like that that's external in the external environment. I'm talking about the average person here, will be much quicker to advocate that than to listen to their own body, which is ultimately the best learning tool when it comes to gaining true health.
Yeah. I mean, you see so many diets and that about now, and people are jumping all over them, thinking that in 6 weeks you're going to look like this. You see the adverts, you know, when you're scrolling through Facebook and they say, take this pill in 6 weeks.
Yeah, but how many people actually jump on it? And I can see why, because that's the world we live in when it comes to getting instant results. You want to find something out, you just type a few buttons on your phone and you've got answers. So that carries over into other areas of life, nutrition and well-being being one of them. But unfortunately, that's something that you definitely can't get results the click of a finger or overnight or even a couple of weeks. I always say to the person that's 2 or 3 stone plus overweight, you don't get there overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. So you're not going to reverse those symptoms overnight either.
Mm. You have to become health, don't you? It's not something
you have to be, like Tom Campbell would say, it's something that's got to be, it's at the being level. It's got to be part of your everyday life. You can't just, that's the thing with the fad diets, they're only ever temporary. And you might get fantastic results, but I can guarantee if it's a diet that you say, okay, I'm going to intend to do this diet, it will always have a time frame on it. And then in some cases, without going into too much of the science behind it, you can end up having a worse effect long term if you start to upset hormonal rhythms and metabolic balance and stuff like that than you were in the original. So any drastic diets, you can't really calculate how your body's going to react. If just because your friend had lost 2 stone in 3 months, or for example, on a certain diet, it doesn't mean that you're going to do the same. That's, you can look into,
because the body reacts differently.
Everyone's biochemistry is different. That's what people don't understand. Everybody's just as different on the inside as they are on the outside. And that should be obvious to most people now, but so everyone's going to react differently depending on, there's loads of different factors.
Is there not a baseline, do you think? A baseline of what is true in what we shouldn't be consuming?
Yeah. In terms of laws of nature, I'd always go back to. So I think I always give clients basic protocols that they should be following, and that should go to everybody. So eat as close to nature as possible would be the main one. So I know some people might think that sounds fluffy, but at the end of the day, we have a symbiotic relationship with nature. So the planet sustains us, we sustain the planet. It should be a symbiotic relationship with the animals, the soil, the air. Anything that's made in a laboratory isn't usually supportive of health. In many cases. So if basically as a general rule of thumb, if it comes from nature, a lot of the time it's safe to eat.
Yeah. So where does, so you say manufactured food there, I mean, that's probably 95% of what we eat now.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's like I say, you look into any major supermarket and I think 70 to 80%, well, I don't know the exact percentage, but 80% of it is just junk, isn't it? That just sits on the shelf and it will sit on the shelf. That's another rule of thumb. The longer it sits on the shelf, usually the worse it is for you. Food should give you energy. And if it's dead food, what do you expect to gain from me? So people forget the a lot of people now in Western society eat for the wrong reasons. They're feeding emotional bodies with physical food. And that's when you start to, we'll do the share this on another podcast, but when you get eating disorders, that's rooted in the psyche. So that goes on to a deeper level where it's got nothing to do with food. That's just the symptom. The overeating is just they've got an addiction to something and they're trying to feed maybe an emotional loss emotional gap in their life with physical food. One of the reasons is a lot of junk food today. Some people won't be aware of this, but especially like wheat-based products, which are highly addictive, and they are an opiate. They release opiate attached to opiate receptors in the brain, similar to like heroin and morphine, which is obviously highly addictive.
So that's your breads, your cereals,
anything wheat, and that's because of the genetic modification and hybridization of wheat and the gluten peptides in wheat over the last 50 years. So that being said, people find it extremely hard to get off it and think, oh, I can get off wheat. But they don't realize how much stuff it's in, how much stuff wheat or wheat flour or gluten is in so many foods in the supermarket.
It's not even pure either, is it, anymore?
No.
Full of toxins.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be, what that does is once you start eating, it releases those chemicals, those pleasure centers in the brain that makes you feeling like you want more. But the nutrition that the body has received is minimal. Because it's very because it's been processed and synthesized so much, there's very little nutrition, living enzymes that your body can actually utilize left. So what you're left with is, well, nothing. That's why you can just keep on eating it. So like pasta and stuff. I mean, again, quality always comes into it. You can get better quality and that'll have a massive impact. But things like breads, cereal-based foods, wheat-based foods, pastas, those are going to have, you'll find most people can just keep eating them and never really feel satisfied. You might feel bloated, but give it an hour or two later, you still start, those hunger cravings start to set in again.
Yeah. You know, which is why we know a lot, fresh fruit and veg, like an avocado in particular.
You can't eat a lot of it.
Well, no, because you feel satisfied really quickly, didn't you? But what I was getting at is if you peel the skin off that and cut it in half and then leave that out, within an hour, that's changed colour and it's starting to disfigure itself and whatever. Oxidize, I suppose it would be.
Yeah.
Which is dying, isn't it? You buy a tin of beans and those beans will sit there for years.
Yeah.
Until you shouldn't be eating them again. I mean,
plastic.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah. That's the thing. But people don't seem to think that way. People seem to think how much sugar's in there, how much salt's in there, how much protein's it got in there. That's a big one. And then as long as it fits their macros for the day, for example, or their calorie limit, then it seems to be fine for most people. But people don't think, okay, I should be eating living food to sustain myself. That's why we've got the highest rates of degeneration, of diseases linked with degeneration of the body.
Is meat living food?
I believe as soon as obviously the animal dies, the animal's dead as soon as it's slaughtered, then it's going to start to decompose. It's then obviously it goes through a process which it goes to the supermarket. So we're a long way away from our native elders living off land. So obviously we've come a long way from that. And now you can just walk to the supermarket and buy any kind of meat that you want. You haven't got to go out hunting or anything like that. So the quality straight away, the nutrition density in that meat is not going to be nowhere near as much as it should be. That being said, I do think up to this level, from what I've researched, I do think that there is still some kind of, there is still some living enzymes in there, or else it wouldn't. If you left it out of a packet or out
a few
of
days,
if it's not refrigerated, it'll start to decompose. You'll start to get maggots feed on it or whatever. So it is, I think it's still a living entity. Just like fruit and vegetables. But I think, what's your take on that? So, I do think so. It's still going to sustain the body at a certain level, and you still need to have the enzymes present to break it down. So basically, if the food is denatured, there's no enzyme activity left. So your body needs those enzymes in the food present to break it down, metabolize it, use it as bioavailable food in the body. That's why denatured foods, things that have been manufactured, processed, gone through so many processes in a lab or factory, whatever, there's no enzymes left present. The same could be said for pasteurized milk. The myth where calcium, your best source of calcium for milk, everybody, most people should be coming, waking up to the fact now that it's 100% not the best form, but there's no calcium left in milk because whatever is left in there is going to be distorted because it's only declared pasteurized if all of the, and if there's no enzyme activity left.
Yeah.
So there's no living, there's nothing left in there.
Yeah, I've got a question you just mentioned there about receiving calcium from milk.
Yeah.
So I'll take from that comment, correct me if I'm wrong, that as humans we are taking things from the food we eat. So for example, you take protein from a steak, for example. Every other animal on the planet will generally just eat one type of thing. Like a cow will just eat grass. A horse will just eat hay or whatever they eat, grass or whatever. They don't eat protein to have protein. They eat one thing and the body does it itself, creates a protein. Like a gorilla will probably just eat bananas and fruit.
Yeah.
And they're probably the strongest animals on the planet, maybe for the weight.
Yeah.
So why do we think as humans that we take things from food that we use? Why do we not just follow nature, as you said earlier?
Yeah. I've looked into that a little bit more recently because I can't really answer it with a...
An answer that's satisfied.
Yeah. So what I do think is that I think it comes into... in the animal kingdom, as if you class us as part of the animal kingdom, we're different in the sense of... we're the same on a physical level.
Yeah.
But in terms of we have a bigger, we have
sense of awareness.
A higher sense of awareness. So I think when it comes down to if that's all meant to be as part of evolution, evolving human consciousness, the fact that we've got a bigger choice space, that's part of evolving that sense. So is it kind of, I just think an animal can't really make a wrong decision. They're just, that's all they know. They're living off the animal. It's all animal instinct. Whereas we've come so far from that now. A lot of people don't live off animal instinct. So people have lost touch with what's right for their own body, which is where we need to be going back to.
I know. It's a difficult question to
answer. I can't really answer the question. I think all you can do is, I mean, try just eating one food.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yes, I mean, it's
but right now.
For some reason, it just doesn't fit right, does it?
No, but I think it's as you've said, we've come so far away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the answers, but I think if you question what other animals are doing and you look at it, you think, well, that we're not doing anything like, but we're not anything like them, are we?
No, that's the thing. People say we are.
Physically, we are. We're a human body, but there's far more going on in the higher.
In the psyche.
That's
why we're so.
Maybe because the intellect has tried to create more complex when it doesn't need to be as complex as what we're making it. Maybe. Yeah. You mentioned calories earlier.
But it's like the same, but we've got, I think we've got, as conscious beings, we've got the most power to do, to make the biggest change in the world, whether it's good or bad, through the choices we make every day.
Yeah.
So you won't see an ant making atomic bombs, or you won't see gorillas making.
So where's that to do with
free energy or anything?
What's that to do with food? You think food has led us to that?
Yeah, I'm just saying we've got. That's how broad our decisions can, the impact our decisions can have.
Right.
Whereas animals don't have that. That's how just far away we are from animals in terms of the intellect.
Yeah.
So that we think with obviously our brains are completely different, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, if I took a wild guess, I think that human beings' intellect and their expanded awareness has created more complexity. And we've gone so far away from nature now to the point where we don't know what's right or wrong anymore.
Right, that's why we do have a lot of... I mean, see, it's okay to focus on all the problems in the world, but there are obviously a lot of good things going on as well. I don't want to be like doomsdayer. But there is a lot of problems that you can put right down to the fact that we've come so far away from...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Nature. And food's right at the heart of that. So there's some things that people eat now that you just...
Yeah. I was listening to the radio the other day. Let's go back to when you mentioned calories. I was listening to the radio the other day and they're still pumping the women should have 2,000 and men should have 2,500. I mean, what's all that? Why are they still saying stuff like that for?
I've never, as a health coach, I've never counted a calorie in my life, and I've never told anybody to either, because I just don't see why. I just don't see why it's necessary, because if you're eating in an attunement with your body and eating high nutrient dense living whole foods, you wouldn't eat excess calories anyway.
No.
And even if you did, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to put on weight or anything like that.
Be a natural thing, you'd stop eating at the time where you had enough calories or whatever.
There's too many factors coming into nutrition now where it's just, I think the more people try and dissect macronutrients and vitamins and minerals and all this kind of stuff, you're just getting further and further. You're just missing the point completely. I think that's the fact that we've got more dietitians and nutritionists and health experts now than ever. But the food-related health illnesses, they just seem to be getting worse in a lot of cases. So, so what does that tell you? Too many people listening to diet gurus or health experts or the next best fad diet and not listening to their own body. So we need to get back to that, I believe, 100% to achieve optimal health.
Yeah. What about let's talk a little bit about, we mentioned the fad diets like Slimming World and Weight Watchers, because people, very naively, I think it's ignorant actually to a degree now, that people still buy into that, that you can have points and you can eat a cake and it's only 2 points or whatever they call them, sins or whatever they call them. How do people move away from buying into such nonsense? Would they just seek out higher levels of knowledge? Like, do they just go to a health coach and say, you know, I'm ready now?
Yeah. How do they go about snapping out of that, do you say?
Yeah, like, it can't be any... It's ignorant, isn't it?
I think, again, we've become lazy, and I think health isn't the top of people's priority list until they're forced to be aware of it.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not up there day to day, but then when until they're forced to bring it into their conscious being through an illness or whatever, a health related problem, then they're forced to prioritize it. But it's not, I mean, who actually sits down and thinks, the average person, how many average people just sit there and look at what their priorities are in life? Is it subconscious? Do they actually have, is health ever there? Do they think, okay, I'm going to, every choice they make should be supportive of health. Because if not, then what are you creating?
Yeah.
The opposite of health.
Yeah.
So if I mean, again, you can talk about 80-20 ratios and stuff like that. Everyone's, not everyone, but you're going to have people having the odd treat. And I'll say, well, carry on. If your body's efficient enough to detoxify that 10-20% of whatever you would class as a treat, whether it's a glass of wine, coffee, or any other.
Usually the treats are poisons, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to obviously have some degenerative effect on the body. But I'd argue that if you're doing everything else right in terms of health and well-being, then most people can cope with that 10-20%. But it depends how strict you want to be with it, I suppose. Depends what your life goals are and how it fits in with it. But the average person, just to lose weight and get healthy, it's really not difficult. It's all the emotional side, which is usually the problem. And people tend to self-sabotage, which is usually an unconscious thing. So it's said that by the time you're 35 years of age, you're 95% unconscious, basically. So due to efficiency, the brain working more efficiently, because you're taking so much information from a young age, you will try and become more efficient and you'll just do things without thinking about them. So when you think about something, that's going to be the conscious mind at work. So by the time you're 35, it's said that the latest studies in neuroscience have said that 95% of your daily actions will be coming from a subconscious point of view. So it's, you don't have to think about it, you just do it. So So just become a part of the, well, yeah, whatever you want to call that, subconscious, yeah, the shadow, the saboteur, whatever. So that's why people struggle. If someone has always looked outside themselves for help instead of listening to the body. So when it comes to Weight Watchers, okay, it looks like a quick, easy way to lose weight. Everybody else is doing it. That's just, it's familiar. They know that could give results.
Yes.
So they then try and make a change. The reason why most people can't keep that up or any kind of positive health change or is because they're using 5% willpower or conscious mind against 95% hardwired programming. Mm. And it's like they haven't changed again their being level. Say, okay, I'm going to do this for a certain period of time, and then it hasn't become a part of their being. So it's just to change the unconscious is a bit more of a, once you can do that, then it just becomes a part of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are,
yeah,
it can be tricky, and obviously, so people are so busy about talking about the best supplement, the best food, vegan diet, carnivore diet, paleo, all the different diets. But the truth is, the body's the best teacher, and what works best for you.
Mm. Yeah, and it takes a long time, doesn't it? That, and I don't think people want to put in the time and effort.
No, the intellect seems to confuse. Yeah, people just want the quickest results, and that doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of conscious work, and people eat for different reasons. If you can't get off the junk food, off the sugar, the wheat, the caffeine, then you need to look at what else is not working correctly in your life and see if that's maybe at the root of the problem.
Yeah.
In many cases.
Mm.
So if you're unhappy in your job, if you're unhappy in a relationship, those kind of things, if you've got no sense of purpose, which hasn't got to be a big thing, you haven't got to go and save the world or anything. But if you haven't got that sense of fulfillment in yourself, people try and fill that void with food. Because again, it releases the pleasure centers in the brain, and until the next energy drop or whatever.
Yeah.
So we could go on and on about all of that. I mean, depends which route you want to go down. But yeah, I think the more we go into the intellect when it comes to diet and nutrition, which we have been over the last, for as long as I've been studying it, we just seem to be, it's like a never ending pit. There's always going to be an opposing argument that trumps the other.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be a vegan expert giving examples of how it's the best diet to optimize health and eliminate all diseases. And then you'll get what I've noticed recently. I started to go down that path and then came across somebody else who gave a strong argument for nearly 100% meat eating. And he seemed to give on a physical level a good argument for it. And he backed it up with sound science and all that kind of stuff. So there's always going to be the yin yang. Again, even with every debate. So I think it comes down to, again, repeat myself again, but just developing a relationship with your own body and being aware of what's going on inside and outside your body.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the basic principles, again, like eat as close to nature, obviously you can talk about just the quality of food for another hour or so, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Organic food, not just for what the nutrition quality you get, but what the toxins that you don't get from it as well. Yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah, all the processed food. Obviously, people know now that that's obviously going to be degenerate health. So, why people eat them is a completely different reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're more expensive, isn't they? All the good foods and organic, that they're more expensive because they're less in demand. People demanded them more.
But again, it comes down to priorities, because people will go and spend, I see people driving around in 30 grand cars, but then they'll always look for the cheapest food option. So where's obviously can see your priorities are wrong.
Yeah.
And that when they do get diabetes, then they have to, okay, now their choices are very limited.
The pain's come too much not to take action on it.
Yeah, and I think that's what one of my mentors, Paul Check, that he calls it the pain teacher, which is a blessing in disguise, really. If you do happen to come across some kind of degenerative disease or some problem, some health-related problem, then it's to bring your choice making into your awareness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
if you've been making bad choices for 10, 15 years,
yeah,
that's obviously going to be the pain teacher is going to bring that into your consciousness so you can address it. And sometimes if you're, the more conscious you are, those little signs will be subtle and you're more sensitive to the signs and you can listen to them and you can change accordingly. But because people are so bogged down with all the toxic chemicals from the water to the food to everything else, they just become so desensitized to it all that they're not aware of what's going on in their own body.
Yeah.
So then maybe a big health problem will come along.
Let's talk about toxicity. Because it's a very broad term, isn't it, toxicity?
Mm.
Anything that isn't for the human body will create a degree of toxicity in the human body, won't it?
Yeah.
So anything inorganic to the human body.
Something that it doesn't support, like health and vitality.
Will you could create call it toxicity.
So you could argue it's everywhere, yeah.
Now, how does that, I know it comes out apparently through the kidneys, through the skin.
Yeah.
How do people get rid of toxicity? Because we've all got years of it from our condition. We've all been eating, well, I've had a load of shit. I've cleaned it all up in the last few years.
Yeah.
Most people have been doing it for 30, 40 years. That's a lot of toxicity to get out of the human body. Cancer rates are going through the roof.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer that that's through all the toxicity that's been held in the human body. There's not one cause of it. It's just toxicity. It's a very broad thing.
Yeah.
So how do people clear that up?
I think it's an ongoing process. I think the body's always trying to work to self-serve itself and to eliminate anything that's not meant to be there. We don't have to think about that. It just does it.
So a tumour,
for
example, say someone's got a tumour of the bell, cancer, and the tumour's growing. Is that serving the body or harming the body?
Harming.
You think that tumour is harming the body?
Oh, sorry. If there's a tumour there...
If there's a tumour, that's there.
It depends which way you look at it. From a physical level, a scientific physical level, it's a bad thing. It's a negative thing. Obviously, it's going to limit what you can do in life. It's going to cause ill health. But from a long term, that's a blessing because it's instead of just dropping down dead, it's making you aware of all the bad choices you've been making, which in I'm not saying every case. I mean, you've got obviously genetic influences as well and environmental factors. There's a lot of things that go into it, but I think it's said that something like 90, I think it's definitely over 90% of all diseases are brought on by health and lifestyle. So all this money that's pumped into the...
That's such a broad range, Joe. Health and lifestyle.
I know.
I mean, what does that... Is, that could be anything.
I mean, that's why I think... I spoke about it in the last... earlier podcast, the totem pole of health.
Yeah, yeah.
So it will always have... Just because you've got a tumour, whereas... I mean, so we've seen in a lot of literature out there now that stress could cause that.
Mm.
It's not always going to be from nutrition. What's most important? So I'd definitely say that the health of the psyche or the emotional, mental well-being is definitely higher up. And you could argue that some people that you see some people eating whatever they want, living to the age of 80, 90, and they're perfectly fine. They die old in their sleep. So how do you explain that? Doesn't that mean that everybody can go and do the same?
No.
Is that down to strong genetics or?
Yeah, I mean, if I use a metaphor,
but is that because they're so fulfilled in their life purpose?
There's so many different.
To
use a metaphor, let's say our bodies are engines. You might have heard this metaphor before, but let's just say the body's an engine, and you're putting diesel into a petrol engine. It's not going to work properly, is it? Or at all? It's going to die. It's just going to break.
Yep.
Do we not need to get all that out and then replace that with good rather than just put the good in?
And obviously I think that's where you can look into. But I don't think it just accumulates all at once. I think as soon as the toxins go into the body, the body will be trying its hardest to get it out.
Yeah, it's not that's right. So how do they get that out?
There'll be many. Urine, feces, there'll be the skin, the kidney will be working overtime. A lot of biological function in the body will be I think it's 99% of all biological function in the body require water. That's from the work of Dr. Batman Gelage as well. So the 99% of biological functions in the body rely on water. Where you get that water from is another matter, but rely on water.
As long as you get it, I suppose,
to function. So obviously that's going to be top. If you're not drinking water, then the body can't detoxify.
Actually, be careful with tap water.
Yeah, because then you're just adding more toxins.
Yeah. I mean, even bottled water, there's an argument to say with the plastic, especially if it's been in the sun. Yeah. Distilled's probably best.
Yeah, but you say that to most, the average person, and they can't seem to grasp the effects that could have long-term. Mm. They don't understand that their man boobs have probably come from out of taking too much plastics in from the food, from the water.
Soy.
Yeah, and just messing their hormonal levels up, and that can be a long journey to get rid of those, because you can do as many chest presses as you like. It's happened at a hormonal level. So until that balance has been restored, gynecomastia, that's what the technical name is. That's when you get like an estrogen imbalance and testosterone and estrogen imbalance in a male, and they start to develop like breast tissue because of lack of, and obviously as you get past 30 plus anyway, males' testosterone will start to take a big, start to take a drop. So it's important long term to increase obviously physical activity, eating the right foods that keep hormonal balance and all the metabolic function in the body as optimal as possible.
Yeah, I agree. A bit about fasting, because obviously as I mentioned, getting the stuff out in order to put stuff in, I was going down the route of fasting. Do you think fasting serves a purpose for a lot of people? Do you think it could serve a purpose for everybody if done right?
Definitely. I think fasting's it's coming to spotlight a bit more now. And that's not like a fad or anything. People try and make it into a fad, probably like a new diet around the corner.
Geez, though, in
the fad fix, the fasting fix, whatever. But
is it 5-2 they've come out with, I think?
Yeah.
Fast 2.
But then there's somebody else just trying to take ownership over it, but that's just part of it.
All the religions do, don't they?
Yeah.
Islam is.
Fasting's been around for thousands of years. Centuries. So I think it serves a great purpose in terms of detoxifying, because it gives the body, if you just think about it, imagine if you've got little workers in your digestive system. Mm. Or in your intestines, and you're constantly just shoveling crap into the body. They're just having to work over time.
That's why you're tired. More tired the more you eat.
Yeah, because if you are eating like denatured foods that aren't from nature, whole organic foods, then you're going to be using a hell of a lot of energy to break that food down. Sorry.
Mucus.
Yeah, got a bit of mucus buildup from the meat. So if you've got workers working down there, little men in your intestines, in your digestive system, they're working overtime to get rid of all that crap. So what fasting will do is it just gives the body time to catch up. So if you're eating denatured foods, a lot of the time you're using more energy to break the food down and eliminate the toxicity than the food's actually giving you. So if the food isn't nutritionally dense, then that's why some people might go and eat have an all you can eat buffet, and then they feel shattered and just want to go to sleep after it. That's a sure sign to say that the food wasn't very dense in nutrition. There's a lot of mass there. There's a lot of food there. So the food quantity was high, but the nutritional density was low. So you're just having to work very hard to break down something that isn't serving your body on a biological level. So with fasting, that's when all the detoxification and elimination systems can start working. Because I think they'll more efficiently, you'll be more limited to how much you can detoxify when you're still shoving loads of shit in. Yeah. I believe it's a subject where you have to do your research, either get the health a healthcare practitioner or at least a health coach that knows what they're doing to get some tips on fasting. Because I think if you're, or what you see from the average person, just because someone's overweight, they could still be malnourished. Mm. So that's what we see in a lot of cases. Somebody's might be overweight, but that can be down to, they might still be very, very undernourished. So they're not taking much in terms of whole good quality food, but they're overweight because of the body can't use the stuff that's coming in.
Like pouring clean water on a dirty pool.
Exactly. Yeah. So if that person started fasting, they've got to be careful. Or if anybody starts fasting, that
yeah, we got cut off there. We're back on now. Okay, go on, mate. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. So if you are going to think about fasting, which can be very good in terms of eliminating all the toxins from your body, even when it comes to weight loss, is that you can get a lot of benefits from fasting, digestive health as well. But just make sure that you've got good baseline health. And there's so many different ways and extreme fast you can do. I know you did not long ago started doing some. Some dry fasting, was it?
Dry fasting.
Dry fasting, yeah, which is where you eliminate water as well. And there's some very good science explaining why that's so effective. But I think just tips for someone who's looking into doing it, generally speaking, is to do like an intermittent fast. It's just where you would skip breakfast. There's probably a lot of people going, oh, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Mm. But I speak to a lot of people who can't physically stomach breakfast.
Mm.
So it's not the most important meal of the day for everybody. Generally speaking, you'd say it's an important meal, sets you up for the day. Depending on what you eat, can stabilize blood sugar levels. But why would you force breakfast on somebody that just doesn't want to eat it? So there you go. That's but anyway, true. intermittent fast, you would skip breakfast. Maybe have your first meal about 12 or 1. Have 2 to 3 meals in 6 hours. So then you'd have maybe another meal at 3 o'clock. And then another meal at 6 o'clock, and then don't eat again until 12 o'clock next day.
Mm.
That's something basic to start off with. But
yeah,
like I say, look into it first.
Yeah, it's too easy to just jump in, ain't it?
Yeah. Because like I say, I know you've done it yourself. Some quite extreme fasting, and you do suffer some detox symptoms.
Detox symptoms, you do. So sweating and you stink and everything.
Yeah, and some people can mistake that for like the flu or you're coming down ill, but I think that's just the body's way of like purging all the crap out the system. And obviously it can be good for a lot of people, just want to know how it can be used to reduce weight or anything like that, and you could probably say more about that than me because you've had some good
about what
fasting. Sorry, you've been doing a lot of fasting.
Think I've lost about nine kilograms, something like that,
with barely any exercise as well.
But to be fair, I've come off dairy as well in that about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that has a big, because I love cheese. Now I'm off the cheese, that makes a huge impact, doesn't it?
Yeah. But you did that with barely any exercise.
None.
But
I think that's helped, because I was doing gym. I've been doing gym for 10 years without stopping. I've never stopped. And now I'll just stop the gym. Obviously, that's going to make an impact as well. So to say that was purely fasting, there's been a few different things that has assisted that.
Yeah.
We need to wrap this up. It's been an hour.
It's been an hour?
Yeah. We are going to be doing another one very soon, actually, and we'll talk a bit more. We'll dive more into this, into exercise and that as well.
I was just about to talk about exercise, to be honest, because that can be.
Yeah.
You see, some people start join a gym and end up eating more for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't always have to be. Doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, though.
Mm.
You can still obviously have to eat more if you're going to be more physically active.
But and you're going to be running courses soon, aren't you?
I'm going to be doing a Take Back Your Health workshop at the Village in Dudley.
That's in the West Midlands near Birmingham.
Yeah, so it'll be about 40 minutes to an hour discussing more.
Is there a cost on that?
No.
Oh, it's free?
No.
Okay,
yeah, cool. Free workshop. So
anyone who's listening, they can come along and just book in through our website or something? Or?
Yeah, we can book in through there. And basically, I'll just be demystifying some of the delusions around food and what's optimal. Trying to get to the truth and helping you develop a more of a relationship with your body and finding what's the optimal eating plan for yourself. So you'll become more empowered to make decisions and you don't have to listen to a diet book or any other. That sounds rich because obviously I'm trying to advocate what's good for you, but I'm not trying to force it on anyone. I'm just trying to give information and you obviously listen to your own body and take it, make of it what you wish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds good. Nice one. Thanks a lot for joining us. We will be releasing a couple in quick succession soon. So please keep aware of what we're releasing. If you could follow us on all the social media platforms, that would be fantastic. We are going to start ramping this up and running courses and everything. So we appreciate all the support and everything that you've given us so far. It does mean a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.